You guys, I was in the grocery store here in Texas, and I was with my family, and, you know, I'm trying to behave or whatever, and I see the cover of Entertainment Weekly features Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, all dirty with his hair, like, slicked back in a dirty face, you know, because they got to make him look rugged. He's so pretty, and he's holding a sword. He's going to be playing King Arthur. I wanted to run up to that magazine and make out with it, okay? But I was with my family. I was in the store. I couldn't do that. I mean, I probably couldn't do that where I lived either, but I certainly wouldn't do it around my family. And I thought, you know what? Hold it in, darling, because when you get home, you've got Next Issue magazine waiting on your iPad. I came home and I made out with that screen for an hour. Next Issue, you guys. Get your free 30-day trial at nextissue.com/crappins. David Letterman, happy at last in Rolling Stone. When he stopped being miserable, he knew it was time to quit. You know how I read that? On my Next Issue, okay? We get more into our interests by seeking out authorities on them, like Esquire, Vogue, Sports Illustrated, Wired, anything Charlie Hunnam's in. There are so many magazines we've all come to trust. All the stories, news, and photos from the most relied upon sources. Instant, unlimited access to the world's top titles on your tablets and phones. Next Issue has the top titles for all interests. Are you into entertainment? We've got a dozen of those magazines, from People, my personal favorite, to Rolling Stone. Haven't redeemed yourself from putting Kim Kardashian on the cover, but I'm rooting for you, to Us Weekly. Come on, you guys. Next Issue delivers all the content, everything that's in the print editions, on the same day they hit the newsstands. Do you know how much a magazine costs right now? It costs like $6-$7, something ridiculous. Next Issue is an incredible value. One subscription gets you so many magazines for as little as $10 per month, okay? You can use it on up to 5 devices. It's easy to share with others. Get it. Get your free 30-day trial at nextissue.com/crappins now and read up, way up on all your interests. nextissue.com/crappins. I love you, Charlie Hunnam. Please never leave me.
That's what Shaw's Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast about Bravo, nothing runs with Bravo.
But that's okay, we only care about Bravo.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Today's episode of Watch What Crappens was brought to you by premium subscribers Claudia Catalina and Christy Doherty. We love you, girls. Now on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, a podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV, and as usual, I'm here with the lovely, gorgeous, and now sun-kissed Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. I feel very sun-kissed. I feel actually like sun sexed.
I'm just sun damaged.
A lot of sun.
All right. I think that says a lot about who we are. You're able to receive the sun, and all I can get from it is damage, you know? Just like with love, darling. All right. So, everybody, we'll get our quick plugs out of the way. Thank you, Next Issue, by the way.
Thanks.
So, if you guys want to talk to us, please come to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. We have live show threads there for the shows that we covered, and all the listeners gather and just make us laugh our asses off. It's a really fun group of people, and they have built a beautiful community that we just kind of read. So, go check out what's over there. For all our personal Instagram and Twitter links, please go to watchwhatcrappens.com. All of our stuff, it's just like ground zero with all our links and stuff. I guess it's too soon to still say that, right? Ground zero. What else, Ben? Oh, patreon.com.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to everybody on patreon.com.
Especially our
premium. My God, yeah. Oh, don't worry. I have a big special announcement that I record at the end for those two wonder twins.
All right.
But y'all come over to Patreon because that is where you can subscribe. We do this show twice a week now because of people at Patreon. And basically, you subscribe there. The shows always remain free. But when you subscribe, we do a bonus episode every week. This bonus episode, we talked about the Caitlyn Jenner show on E! We talked about internet trolls. And me just finally saying, who gives an F? And we talked
about... Cecil the Lion.
Cecil the Lion getting killed in Zimbabwe by Arthur the Dentist from Secrets and Wives.
But most importantly, we talked about the new cast of Below Deck. Thank Tracy Swayze on our Facebook page sent us a link to the new cast. And we went through every cast member of the new season of Below Deck. And then we watched the trailer on the podcast and we laughed about it. And I have to say, this was a very fun bonus episode. We had so much fun.
Well, anyway, that's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. So go there, sign up if you can. This show will always remain free. And the people who support that way are just as important as the people who support in the just listening way. I mean, we've grown more than we ever thought we would. And it is fantastic. And we're so happy and grateful. So thank you guys.
Yeah, and nothing could be more evidence of that than this past weekend when Ronnie and I were both in Austin for the Crap by Crap West 2015 festival. There had to be about 50 people there at least. And it was great. The outpouring, the fact that all these people showed up for our podcast was really wonderful. It meant a lot to me, and I assume you too, Ron.
Oh, my God. I was really touched by it because, you know, we'd only done one live podcast before, and it was right when we first started. I think it was like our fifth or sixth episode.
Yeah.
And we did it at I.O., and Tammy came out, Tamala. And that was – we had so much fun just – having Tammy laugh, but to to actually get to, you know, that was my uncle's restaurant, which I didn't know that was like as hot as it was. Sorry, but it was hot as hell. It's an August summer day or a July summer day. We were sitting in front of these big garage window things. So the sun was beating down. We were sweating all over the place. The audience looked like they were going to pass out. But just to be there in my uncle's place, and my parents were both there, and they brought a ton of their friends. Yeah. And I told them, please, you know, you guys, I'm kind of a horrible human being on the show, and I at least filter it when I'm around your friends, you know? And they're like, who cares? And they just came, and everybody had so much fun, and it was so cool to see my family out there, like, laughing and kind of getting into it and getting it. And then meeting you guys was so amazing.
Yeah. Love meeting people. Like we just mentioned Tracy Swayze, put that link up. It's so great because we met Tracy Swayze and we know what she looks like now.
I was partying with Tracy after you left. We just stayed and partied for a long time. We had so much fun. We laughed our ass off. And you know what? All of you guys, Nancy, I can't remember everybody's name, but Nancy, Daisy, and your hot fiance, so many great people.
Yeah.
We met Kazar Karen.
She made pins for us.
She made Watch What Crappens, Crap by Crap West pins.
That's the pin that you see on episode 205. That episode's artwork.
So good. Kat flew all the way from Chicago, and her friend came from Boston, and they got us TJ Maxx cards so we can get our own, like, you know, wrought iron.
Fleur-de-lis, yeah.
Yeah, fleur-de-lis and ceramic cooks to hold cookies.
And, like, paintings of the Eiffel Tower that just says Paris under it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really wonderful. To those of you who weren't able to be there, I hope the audio quality on the podcast was okay. We sort of had a weird audio setup because we had two microphones for the PA system, and that was originally supposed to then the PA system that feed was supposed to go into the computer, so that way it would just sound to you guys at home. It would sound like the way this one sounds, but unfortunately that didn't work, so we had to set up like a third microphone. Everything was like sort of messed up. So
as usual, as is tradition,
we will get our live audio sound better. Thank you guys for tolerating us.
It was just such a weird time. Like everybody was in a heat box. It was hell, but everybody stayed and had so much fun. And then just like honestly, and I don't even mean to sound like a dick, but just the fact that nobody was crazy. Like, everybody was so intelligent and cool and funny.
Yeah.
and just came down for a good time. Like, there was no weirdos. I mean, I was afraid maybe there was going to be someone there to stab me, you know, because I deserve it. But so many great people. So thank you, guys. Really, you gave us a very special day.
And actually, along those lines, one of our listeners who came, Megan Stout, she came and she gave us a copy of a children's book that came out in 1998. This book, some of you may know it. It's called No David.
No David.
By someone literally named David Shannon. David. So I'm going to read it because it has like five lines of, you know, but they're... It could not be more perfect. Like, Megan, this thing is brilliant. This is like if Shannon Bedore actually wrote a children's book, it would be this. So it says on the side, it says, like on this little flappy thing, it says, when David Shannon was 5 years old, he wrote and illustrated his first book. On every page were these words, "No David," and a picture of David doing things he was not supposed to do. You know, like going to one of the many restaurants that he took his mistress to. Now David is all grown up, but some things never change. So this is No David. This is story time on Watch What Crappens.
Do it.
David's mom always said, "No David. No David. No David, no. No, no, no. Come back here, David. David, be quiet. Don't play with your food. That's enough, David. Go to your room. Settle down. Stop that this instant. Put your toys away. Not in the house, David." "I said no, David." "Davy, come here." "Yes, David, I love you." That's the entire book. Could not be more perfect, David.
So David. Good. And it ends with, "David, why are you holding a suitcase? David, David."
I just love it. It's a book of someone berating David, and at the end, they ask for love in return. David, I love you. I've only had 40 to 50 negative thoughts while you were tipping over the fishbowl. David, when you brought that baseball and the bat into the living room, I only had 30 negative thoughts that day.
You reminded me of your bat. Stop David. Reminding me of your bat being hard when it's out of the house, David. David, put down the bat, David. No, I won't put the bat away, David. I will not put the bat inside of me until I've learned to stop thinking all these negative thoughts, David.
David. David.
Oh.
So this is a good opportunity for us, I think, to start talking about Real Housewives of Orange County.
Okay. I have to say something first. Actually, maybe we can save this till Thursday because we're a little light on shows. But maybe Thursday we can talk about all these previews that have come out for the Manzo show. And then I saw a... what else were they showing previews for this week? There was another one.
Tardy for the Party is coming out now.
Oh, my God. That's great. I hadn't seen the preview for that. There was something else awful. Workout. Can't wait. Workout.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Oh, my God. Personal trainers fighting. And then we also should announce that this week we will be adding Million Dollar Listing San Francisco, which neither one of us, I don't think, have watched yet. Oh, you've watched
it,
right?
I watched the first. I mean, we're basically just adding it until better shows come around. Not better shows, but like funnier shows to recap. Because basically for the next episode, we have Real Housewives of New York City, and that's it. Because there's no more Secrets of Wives! Paralyzed! Jonathan, did you stick your thumb up Andy Cohen's asshole? Why aren't we getting a reunion?
He's like the only one who wouldn't have made that a storyline. He would have been like, "That was great, thanks. Finally,
Hey, Arthur, season 2 is going to be on Insta. Did you hear? It's on Insta."
He's like, all you hear is his car zooming away. That was one thing about that live episode. By the time we talked so much about New York, and it was so hot, we took like an hour and something to talk about New York, that by the time we got to Secrets and Wives, we had to speed through it because it looked like Awakenings in there. Have you seen that movie? It was just Awakenings. Like, it was sad. Like, we had to get out of there.
It's okay, because we asked, I think before we started talking about it, we're like, who here was watching Secrets of Wives? It was like...
I don't know, it's like all right, one person.
Three of us are. Okay, so we'll speed through this.
Yeah, so anyway, sorry, Secrets and Wives. We loved you and your terribleness, and we owed you more. But hey, you didn't even get a reunion. So bye, bitches.
By the way, someone said that some of the Secrets and Wives women listened to us, whatever. Gail apparently favorited some of our tweets, which I don't understand because we just make fun of Gail like none other. Like, we just go off on Gail. <She's> She's like, I'll just put a blazer on it.
The episode that we were talking about, Susan being gross for like going down on her prison husband in a McDonald's parking lot after he came out. We just were ragging on her that whole time. She followed us. And then Crappin's Quotes, at Crappin's Quotes on Twitter, who love her or him. I think it's a her.
But I don't know who it is. It's a robot.
She makes like memes of her favorite quotes from the show. Love it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I love to read those. And I retweeted one. And one of them was about, one of us was saying something about Susan, like, oh, you remember that show when Susan got the makeover? She doesn't. She retweeted it. I'm like, I was like, what?
She's like, this made me feel nauseous. You feel nauseous? Do you feel nauseous?
She's like, you know what? I may not agree with what you said, but at least you got a job.
You know what these, you know what these podcasts, they need to do? They need to get a job. Get a job. May feel nauseous on your first day at work. It's okay.
So just to be official, Secrets and Wives, goodbye. We enjoyed you. We love you.
Loved it.
Please don't get any classier before you're not picked up ever again and we never see you again. Please let them be picked up. They won't be, right?
No, absolutely not. But it's a shame because they were so good. And I don't understand how some of these other shows, like Mansfield with Children, come back for a second season. And then a gem like Secrets and Wives doesn't. And by the way, everyone I've spoken to who watches Secrets and Wives loves it.
So, there.
And by the way, they should bring back Gallery Girls. Because you know what? Gallery Girls, I think, has actually become a cult classic. Even BuzzFeed, like, few months ago did a list of like, remember the Gallery Girls, these were our favorite. They did like a whole one of their gift posts all about Gallery Girls.
Bring it back, okay, so let's start with Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yes, it started with Megan preparing for her big game night, and she was like cleaning things around her living room while her stepdaughter Haley was like putzing around. Can I say something about Haley?
Yeah.
You know what, Haley, the way she dresses with sort of like a t-shirt and her like her hair in this like her like dyed hair and like a beanie, she looks like the Disney Channel version of like an alternative girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where it doesn't really look like, you know, the people who are really like, you know, like they're Silver Lake, Brooklyn, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like trying to be a, you know,
yeah,
but she's
like the Claire's version of like East Hollywood hipster.
Yeah,
she also looks like one of the bad kids from The Simpsons. You know how there's that bad kid and he always wears that knit cap? That's who she reminds me of. Mm-hmm. So Megan's getting this party together. Listen, when you open with a statement necklace and that statement is overwrought, gigantic, and something you could never afford on your own, you know this episode is going to be fun. Because
mm-hmm.
yeah. What a way to open. And she's inviting all the ladies, who her main trouble with these ladies is that she's way younger than them, and all the resentment that she's gotten from the ladies so far has been because she's younger than them. They even call her Miss 30-year-old, and she calls them like old hags or whatever already.
Yeah.
And so what does she do for the theme of her party? She makes it a kids theme, and she has big giant lollipops and jelly beans and Hello Kitty stickers and like, you know, pre-puberty things, like, I don't know. What are pre-puberty things? I don't even remember, darling.
Well, maybe we can talk about the decor that she was like, I'm gonna make this place like all cool for game night. She's like, I'm gonna go with like a rainbow decor, and then a cut to her. It's basically a coffee table with a bunch of Smarties strewn about.
Yeah,
it was like the worst.
People are gonna put, you know, one person puts their finger in this end, and then the other person puts their finger in the other end, and then they're stuck because it's like a finger trap. But it's not. We're gonna bond.
It's a Chinese finger trap. It's really global.
Listen, one thing we can all bond about is not understanding how Chinese things work. Okay.
I want to put some blow pops on the table. Make it look like really adult.
I thought that was a total bitch move. She's like, let's make it a child theme because these women are old. And then she's talking to Haley, and she's telling us, yeah, I was really mad when Haley didn't do her homework right, and so I'm going to have to find a different way to get through to her. switch her coke out with some Addy, maybe, lady. Like, what other way are you going to get? And Haley's just like,
whatever. Durr. You're Durr. Yeah. Your nickname should be Mom Durr instead of Mother. Durr, Durr Mom.
She's like, she yeah. loves me.
No.
Megan, I have bad news for you. You are never going to be able to discipline Haley. You're too young. You're just a trophy wife. Haley's been down this path before. Your wife, number three, she knows what she can do and what she can't do. Mm. And Jim is the only one who could maybe discipline her. So just give it up and just be friends with her and go shopping with Haley. And then anytime anything goes wrong, just become a step monster. But until then, there's nothing you can do. So give it up and stop crying about it.
She's not even trying to discipline her. It's so funny because she's obviously just doing it for TV. She's like, listen, Haley, here's some advice. You should know about a party starting before 10 at night. If you find out about a party at 11 at night, I mean, it's just bad manners. You can't do that. You have to know at least by 10. It's like, wow, good job, Mom.
She's like, I came home last night and you hadn't turned the pool heater off. Like, that's not cool. Like, wow, that's, you are really getting to the bottom of this.
And Haley's like, whatever, my dad didn't say that. And she's like, yeah, well, me and your father are a team, you know, because sports, we're like a team. This is a team effort until he trades me for a new player. And I get a severance package. But until then, you better get a call before 10. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, Jimmy, like, we are a team. Like, he's like the baseball player, and I'm like the person in the stands giving out hot dogs. We're totally a team.
Love it. So that's how it begins. And I was watching this, of course, while my mother was drinking and playing canasta with my dad behind me. And I was like, hey, can I just leave my cell phone here to record what you say? So she wasn't actually recording it, but, I mean, she wasn't actually saying anything too bad. But a couple of times she goes, why do you watch this shit? Nothing even happens. It's like, that's the point. All right. You don't understand the symbolism of lollipops and jelly beans. It's actually brilliant what's happening right now. You just don't get it.
I'm sorry.
You haven't put in the effort to understand it, Penny.
No. So then we went over to Heather, who is popping bottles of Champers, but I do believe that she was not popping a bottle of her Method Champenoise.
Oh, God.
She and Terry were going shopping in the middle of the day. It was sort of like a date for us.
She's disgusting.
Because the thing is that she's got to shop for Tahiti. So she goes, so what I hate is that Heather once again does this stupid thing where she's like saying why she's really enjoying this, because any free time I have, I'm getting stuff for the house. Tiling, flooring, doorknobs. It's like, Heather, don't act like this is a struggle that you have to deal with. Like as if you've been struck this bad hand of luck. Like, you brought this on yourself. You decided to build a giant mansion, and you were just filling yourself up with this bullshit. Like, I don't have any sympathy for you.
I know. She's like, it's so hard building a mansion. And look, I mean, finally, me and Terry have some time to go spend more money that you can't afford things on. Look, our shirts are $400. Oh, so hard being rich. Ah! Yeah. Isn't this great? Let's go to the diamond store. Like, cunt, do you have... Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. But it's Heather. Is it okay that it's Heather? I'm sorry, you guys. I really didn't mean to do that. But, bitch... Seriously, all you do is brag about your money. No one cares. Stop it. You have gerbil face, okay? Fix that. Fix it. Fix your gerbil face. I'm sick of talking about the money.
I just don't feel bad when you don't have free time because you are micromanaging the latest installment of Marvel. You know, like, I don't feel bad about that.
It's like, it's really hard. Oh, diamond store. Yeah, Terry, let's go. Let's go to the diamond store. And then the guy in the diamond store is like, oh, you know who wanted to buy this stupid diamond clock with two balls being knocked together for no reason over and over again for the rest of his life? Jim Bellino.
You know what I loved is that before he said Jim Bellino and Terry lost all interest in that clock, I was like, I can't believe Terry is interested in this clock, because back earlier in the month, I was in a store that was like selling all these expensive, crazy clocks, like the one that he was looking at. And I was like, who buys these clocks? Like, they're all like $5,000. They're giant and like shiny and gaudy and they're weird. And I'm like, who buys these stupid ass clocks? Who wastes their money on this? And it's like, oh, Terry DeBrow and Jim Bellino.
Someone who needs like a visual representation of their feelings, of their balls just crushing together for the rest of their life by some bitch in a diamond.
Yeah, they're like looking, or they just need a reminder of how much time they have left before they can file for divorce.
God.
For socially acceptable.
Yeah, counting down. Like, when is it 5 years? Because isn't it like you get more money after 5 years? Like, people stay for 5 years because you get a bigger percentage or some shit. Love it.
I also started to laugh because the clock guy, when Heather said they're going to Tahiti, he's like, oh, you guys going to Maria? And Heather's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that must really hurt for Heather, because last episode, Heather was like the only one at the table that didn't know where Maria was. And she was like, is that the name of the hotel? They're like, no, it's an island. She's like, are you sure it's not the hotel? Like, no, it's an island. They're like, get over it, Heather. You don't know what Maria is. And now even the clock guy knows what Maria is.
I know, but she's learned how to say it. And then she's found another confusing word just to see if she can trip somebody else up so she doesn't feel as stupid. She's like, oh, we're going to Bora Bora, Papiette, and then we're going to Mariah, and then we're going to Papiette, and then we're going to stop at Papiette, and then possibly we'll take a boat in Papiette and have lunch in Papiette before we go back to Mariah, which nobody cares about. But you know Papiette? And he's like, yes, gerbil-faced, rich bitch who doesn't do shit with her fucking life. Except try and make poor people feel bad for not living in a mall. You know, where are you going to put the Sbarro, Heather? That's the dying question we're all dying to know. Stupid Heather. I hate her. I'm filled with rage.
Yeah. Well, then we then went to game night. Game night finally was happening. Megan actually hired hosts for this, which was the most excessive thing I've seen for a game night. Like, who needs hosts? Who does that?
Who does that? And I love that these game night people are paid all this money, and all they really do is throw some dollar store candy on a table and then go, okay, just play the newlywed game. Like, that's, you know, that's a game show on television. You didn't invent that. You know that, right?
Well, what I loved is, so a bunch of people came. Lizzie showed up, and I was like, oh, what's the first game going to be? How long can Lizzie sit at a table before she starts to whine, you know?
Oh, my God. When they showed Lizzie's first close-up in the confessional, my mom made a visible, like a literally shocked, I said, what? She goes, what happened to her? Yeah. I said, oh, she did it on purpose. And she said, no one does that to themselves on purpose. What happened? Like, did the doctor slip? Was he, like, holding a scalpel and then, like, using a pogo stick? What happened? Everything is too much. Sew it up, Lizzie.
Sew it up. Poor Lizzie. You know, and the thing is that we make fun of Lizzie so much. And I actually like Lizzie, and I feel like she's actually really smart. But, oh, Lizzie, it's just not working out.
You've watched way too much Housewives. If you can look at Lizzie and be like, yep, she's a smart one.
Yeah. Well, she is smart. She just tends to whine, you know, but she is the smart one. She was valedictorian. Don't forget that.
Oh, my God. It doesn't count when you had a different face, right? Oh. Your DNA changes. I'm sorry. All right, so Lizzie's first, and I said that's a bad sign when Lizzie's the first one at your party. Uh-oh. So, of course, the husband is like, hey, where's Jimmy? So the big theme of this is the producers are like, don't forget to ask where Jimmy is. And also because it's a couples night party. He's like, where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? Yeah. You guys know Jimmy ain't there. Y'all know Jimmy ain't ever going to be there. Why is everyone acting shocked that Jimmy is not there?
Well, my favorite part of all this is that Shannon then goes off to the side and she's like, I just think it's weird that her husband isn't here. I just think it's weird. Like, she's like, Shannon is delighting in the fact that she can start some shit. She can be shady off to the side. Where's Jimmy? Maybe he's at one of David's banned restaurants. David? David? Did you go to the restaurant? Did you tell him about the restaurant that you took your mistress to? David? That's thought number one.
And then Megan, I'm getting sick of not knowing when he's coming home. You married someone who's never there. You have his credit card. Like, what the fuck are you missing exactly? Get over yourself. I'm so sick of this. All right, so Shannon comes in. She has those confused eyes like, hi. She doesn't even say hi. She goes, hi?
Hi.
She does hi. A question.
Yeah, she was like looking around. I love that, like, when she walks in, she goes, there's like a hallway. And then she, like, there was some part where there was like some doors and like other hallways, and she like her eyes dart back and forth as if she's about to be attacked by some like booby trap from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, where's the giant ball, David? David.
I know how these 30-year-olds are. I've seen Scream. Before you know it, they're going to start wearing masks and running around the kitchen taking people out. I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not going to stand for it, David. I'm not going to fall for it again.
Okay, Miss 30-year-old, I see what you're up to here. You have three different hallways for me to choose from. I see. You're trying to make me look stupid, aren't you? Well, I start charities, David.
I started hallways.
Well, I brought some more wine for the charity event that you didn't invite me to, just in case you didn't get to take the last wine back.
I brought some candy for the poor people, just in case you decided to disinvite me after I'd already entered the room. So they can get it this time, right in time. They don't have to wait, like the poor last poor people who have no wine to drink now. So congratulations, Miss 30-year-old. People are having their chicken dinner with no wine. I hope you're happy. Live and learn.
But then anyway, Shannon started to, again, she started to shade Megan some more. I think it was in the confessional where she was like, David's not in town. I'm not having a couple's party if David's not in town. She's like, we can barely function as a couple when we're both in town, David. David
who
is not
does
true.
That? Who would have an, that? Who would have a couple's night when David's out of town? That's probably when you should be having a couple's night, because then you can actually account for the women in your life and you know they're not off fucking David.
David.
I like when they cut to Shannon in the confessional right when she started, and she gives like a high clap. She's like, clap, clap, clap. Yay. I actually got an invitation this time. Rolls her eyes.
I know.
She's such a bitch, man. Shannon.
I love when she gets ornery. I love it.
I love that these old women are just about to rip the rest of the cartilage left in Megan's poor anorexia-ravaged body. Vicky's just like, listen, there's still a little... It's like when you got a wing. You got to suck it dry. It looks like there's no meat left. Just suck it off of there until it's done, and then chew on the bone for a while, and when you can't chew anymore, then spit it out. Jesus.
What you got to do is you just have to squeeze Megan like a lime at Andalay's. Just squeeze her right out. I'm surprised that Megan has gotten such a free ride so far this season. And it feels like they're finally, like, it's like Vicky. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I feel like Vicky suddenly had this realization, like, oh, wait a second. She's young and she's pretty and she's new and she doesn't work. Why haven't I started attacking her yet? Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's like, I've only said a couple of real... You know, railroad things kind of under my breath. I mean, what the heck am I doing? This girl's running free. She's having a game night. Who has a game night?
So game night started. They started doing the newlywed game. And this started, like, probably the funniest part of the episode for me. Because, newlywed game is newlywed game. But, of course, it created... It created a monster.
Of course,
Shannon.
It's designed just to make
David
Shannon cry on TV.
David could not answer. Anytime they were like not in sync, Shannon took it so personally. I mean, doesn't she realize the point of the newlywed game is that the funniest part is when you're not in sync?
Oh, yeah, man. But so, everybody else was totally in sync and in love. And all of their answers are just, all you have to do in that game is say, like, every answer is like, my wife's hot. Or yeah. I want to fuck my wife, or yeah. My wife's tits are the best tits on the block. Like, that's how you answer in that game. But everything, he just put the opposite, the worst answer. And meanwhile, Vicky's on the couch, like, doing that snore thing. And they had a whole thing about Vicky snores and showed a whole montage of when Vicky's trying to control a situation by just pretending she's sleeping or whatever.
I know. Listen, if Vicky did that, if I had her over for a game and she did that, I'd be pissed too because it would like ruin the vibe. But watching it on TV, it was really funny.
And Megan's like, who does that? It's classless and rude.
That's classless.
But this newlyweds game. So what were the answers? Do you remember the specific questions? Because I was laughing so hard I didn't write it down.
So the first major one, there were a few ones that didn't really matter, but the first major one was they asked the guys this. They said, whenever I want to blank, she wants to blank. So Shannon wrote, she predicted that David would say, whenever I want to go to sleep, she wants to make whoopee. Which is hilarious that she said make whoopee. Miss 30-year-old, I have some manners. I don't say sex. I say whoopee.
Because Shannon's so sexual. She's like, I just can't stop jumping all over David. I'm sure.
She probably like has like a silver tray with a like an embossed invitation that says, would you like to make whoopee tonight?
So I think she's probably got like some kind of like lock on her vagina that counts the negative thoughts. It's like, if I've had less than 873 negative thoughts today, one click opens. If you can get 5 clicks open and not sleep with a stranger, my vagina will open right up, David. It'll be a fun before bed game, David. David.
And then I'll be David. And then it'll be whoopee time. By the way, you know what's a great way to make your make sure your cheating husband does not want to have sex with you? By calling it whoopee. Okay. So
that's also a sign you never have sex. Who calls it whoopee? You know what whoopees do? They fart whoopee cushions, or they make no sense, like on The View. Call yeah. him fucking, girl. Your husband needs to be fucked. Drop the whoopee.
The only time David says whoopee is when he says, whoopee, I don't have to have sex with Shannon tonight.
Whoopee, she believes that I have a flat tire on the freeway. We've got another 2 hours. Wrap it around me and ride it like a horse, girl.
So anyway, so Shannon predicted that David would say, whenever I want to go to sleep, she wants to make whoopee. But what David wrote is, whenever I want to go to sleep, she wants to talk. David? David, why would you say
why
that?
Would you say that?
You know that when I talk, it's my way of saying I want to have whoopee. Mm-hmm. David, I don't always talk.
David, the key to my vagina is through talking, David. David, talk, David. Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you talking?
David,
why aren't you
talking? I don't want to talk. I'm just trying to dispel the remaining 30 negative thoughts I may have for the rest of the evening. So then it gets even worse. Because then the next major question is, it was something like, are you more or less romantic than you were a week after you first met? Mm-hmm. So Shannon writes more. She predicts that David would write more. And David writes less. And he probably thinks, he's probably trying to end, which, by the way, that's very reasonable. That you might be less romantic than you were a week after you met. Similarly, he probably was predicting what she thinks that he would say. Yeah. So he writes less and she like loses it. She gets all quiet and she's like,
I'm gonna cry right now.
She's like, David says he's more romantic than he's ever been. He says that we'd never be where we are today. And then you say less? Mm-hmm. Then you say less?
Less? Oh, David. Oh, that's right. Those negative thoughts. I'm going there. Oh, I'm going there. Because he's like, please don't go there. She's like, I'm going there, David. I am going there. Who would say that? Who would do that? How could you think that? How?
This is the kind of stuff we talked about, so thanks.
How is she thinking that he's going to say more romantic, Shannon, honey?
She was at sombrero level number 3. I mean, she was having a full meltdown at game night, and it was amazing.
And then there was part that happened that I just happened to catch. She's like, David, that's it, David. I'm going to cry now. I'm going to go there. And then her dragon bracelet falls off. Oh, I was like, oh, my God, that is such a sign, girl. David, look, just go. I mean, if you're not in love and you're just not going to make any effort, you know he's still, like, cruising past the beach looking for anybody who looks like they might need a paint job on their car or, you know, maybe get their tuition paid. He's just like, does anybody need an old penis? Anybody? I've got plenty of old person money. Just come to me.
Even if he doesn't even have sex with that person he sees on the beach, he's just hoping to meet someone so that way he can go back to Shannon and be like, hey, Shannon, remember that girl that we talked to once? I met her at the beach today. And then she could just shit herself in the kitchen again.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's just somewhere to stay, I don't even think he's looking for sex at this point. His penis probably doesn't even work anymore. It's probably terrified.
Yeah, it doesn't want to come out. You know, it's like, probably... is someone talking out there? I just want to go to sleep.
It's not even impotence where it can't get up. It's like inverted. It's like probably hitting the back of his spine. I'll bet you anything he's got lower back problems right now with his dick. Like in reverse boner mode, knocking into his tailbone. He just looks like his dick just wants to run away, man.
He's fully Caitlyn Jennered. So then Shannon basically, she just basically channels all of this emotion into body shame because then they somehow then there's pizza. And she's like, I'm not going to eat the pizza. I'm just going to smell it, and then I'll feel full. Mm-hmm. David, don't I look thin now?
If I was thinner, David would have said making whoopee. But he didn't. No, because I'm fat and my arms hang. And I'm going to show people that you can still get your husband to answer properly in the newlyweds game on a dollar store notebook by losing weight.
I'm sorry I don't have the body of Miss 30-year-old, but the best I can do is just smell the pizza.
Fit is the new... It's really sad when your husband would rather have sex with strangers than you. Diet by Shannon Bedore.
So then.
Oh, actually, like a bunch of... I'm sorry for interrupting you. This just reminded me of something. A couple of people have said we're too hard on Shannon and making fun of this. Look, the joke isn't that Shannon got cheated on, okay? The joke is that Shannon is her own worst enemy and basically turning who's supposed to be her best friend into a fearful, sop, sopping mess. I don't even think that David cheated because he needed to have sex with somebody else. I think he just needed to think, you know, for this one day, I want to not be browbeat by all of the women in my house, not be berated, not told I'm a loser, not told I'm poor. The guy probably just needed a hug. And, you know, sometimes vaginas around a penis can feel like a penis hug. You know, that's all the guy needed. You know, it's not all one-sided is all I'm saying. I'm not saying he deserved the right to cheat. I'm just saying, you know, he probably just needed some emotion somewhere.
Yeah, Shannon is probably one of my all-time favorite housewives.
Me too.
Because she, first of all, she's totally paranoid. And she can't, like you said, she's her own worst enemy. She can't get out of her own way. And perhaps deservedly so. I mean, if you've been cheated on, that is traumatic. But watching her have these moments of panic, these moments where she just can't help herself, and she says these things, these almost overly analytical observations about herself or David, her nagging, it's actually so real because she can't control her emotions that I love it. I think it's she is very authentic in that way.
Yes. Too much so, to the point where I'm like,
too much so for her marriage, but great for TV.
I mean, just to do all of that on TV, you know. Okay, so then we got stuck on Shannon, but the rest of this party, Megan really, you know, Vicky was snoring and wanted to go, and yes, she was being a horrible bitch, and she's always mean to the young girl. We all know that. And yes, the old ladies are hounding Megan kind of for no reason, but let's not pretend that Megan's innocent here either, people.
Yeah, Megan is a... She is a spoiled brat.
She's a bitch.
You know, some seasons I feel like Vicky is totally nasty. Like when Gretchen first came around, when Lizzie first came around, when various others first came around, Vicky was just fully nasty to them, like above and beyond. And I felt like it was kind of undeserved. But I feel like Megan, she's like a spoiled brat. Like, I get it. I get why they're being nasty to her because she's just... She's vapid and she's spoiled and she's entitled.
She's also, anybody who's done it, which obviously I've never been a housewife, but just watching these shows for long, from their point of view, I think they can see exactly what she's doing. It's so obvious. Her first fight was with Shannon. Shannon said, you know, she went after Shannon for some stupid phone call.
Who's this?
Well, you know, I'm really offended. And Shannon's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, well, I'm still offended. Like, she basically tried to, you know, start this big public fight with Shannon to get some airtime. So that's how she starts. So everybody knows that she's a vapid bitch who's just coming after airtime. She obviously is. And then
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the drama's also in Megan's life. The things that she's crying about just don't – they're just – these women have been through things that are way worse than Megan's gone through. And it just – I think it just seems childish in a sense or immature.
Oh, totally. And then Megan's obviously barbing at them, which that's not even proper how I use that. But she's poking them whenever she, you know – says things about what it's like to be 30 or having a party where everything's like kid themed when their whole fight is about age, or then bringing the conversation to, oh, you guys, I'm gonna get Botox. I'm getting Botox for the first time because I found a wrinkle.
And a wrinkle.
It's right here. Can you see it, you guys? And Shannon's like, that's called an expression, Megan.
Yeah, no, she is. She's totally egging them on.
Listen,
for sure.
Lady, keep your poking. Keep poking at me, Megan. Keep it up.
Because she told her, Megan, you have judgy eyes. You have judgy eyes right now. You have judgy eyes. Your eyes have been Botoxed into judgy face.
Judgy eyes.
She's like, well, Miss Judgy Eyes needs to go find my coat.
Listen, lady, keep your poking. Keep poking at me. Keep it up.
I just love when she goes, Megan. Megan.
Listen, lady, keep poking at me, Megan. Keep it up.
Megan.
So funny.
Judgy eyes.
And Heather goes, yeah, you know, it's really weird because everybody's always told me that Vicky's like mean to the new people. And she wasn't that way with me, but now I kind of see what they mean. Heather, she wasn't that way with you because you are no threat, girl. She is mean to the young, hot, blonde people. You're not one of them. You're some gerbil-faced B-list actress with more money than Vicky could ever even dream about having. Right. So she ain't going to fuck with you there. And she's not jealous of you. You're stealing nobody's husband. Now take your gerbil face and go get lost in a Louis store because I'm sick of looking at you and I'm sick of listening to you, you stupid, vapid twat.
Well, you know, here's the other thing about Heather. I mean, you know, I mean, she does things that I cannot stand. But I also feel like Heather is a smarter woman than Megan. A lot of these people. There is something about Heather that commands respect in a weird way. Like, she doesn't, even though she is very self-involved and she does not live in the real world. You know, I understand why Vicky did not go after her, because, you know, not only is she no threat, but Vicky's main thing is she really hates when she sees a hot young girl just leeching off of someone's money. And Heather sort of presents herself in a way that, like, yeah, I may be leeching off of someone's money, but I'm, like, smart. So therefore, I sort of, like, I earned this leeching position by... by being true. Smart somehow. You know but what I'm saying? It's hard
yes,
to say.
Yes, and I think, no, I think you said it well. And I think that also something that might have, something to do with it, nice sentence again, but is that Gretchen comes on, and Gretchen is absolutely hilarious. Like, she was hilarious on the show, and especially when she came on. Her storyline was amazingly funny. She's dating this old man. She's like, yeah. I mean, she's charismatic, she's funny, and those cameras were always on her at that time. Yeah. This was pre-Slade,
Pre-Slade, Gretchen was fantastic.
She
Everyone
was so
loved
funny, and so she got jealous because of that, and she gets jealous when these new charismatic people come on, because Vicky wants to be the star. Heather's no threat. Vicky probably thought Heather was a one-season wonder, and I cannot believe Heather's even still on the show. She adds nothing.
Also, Heather is wealthier than Vicky, which I'd like to add.
Oh, I said that already. She's got more money. Yeah, she's too rich. Vicky will never go up against someone richer than her.
Yeah, notice that Shannon, she didn't go up against Shannon when she first met Shannon. She loved Shannon immediately.
Yep.
Although, how could you not? But so what I loved about this party, by the way, this was a terrible party. Like, nothing happened in it. And I loved how at a certain point, everyone's like, oh, gotta go. Gotta wake up early. I always gotta wake up at 4 a.m. Gotta wake up early. You know, it was like 7 p.m. And they're all like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Gotta wake up.
Well, none of them ate candy. Yeah. You know the meal was like Happy Meals or some shit. She's like, come on, everybody. Let's see who got a Hamburglar toy. And they're like, oh, fuck off, Miss 30-year-old. I gotta go home.
Yeah. Look at the stupid early bird. She looks like Shannon.
Yeah. She's like, okay, early birds, thanks for coming to game night. You get a 10% discount on your Denny's Grand Slam, so enjoy it.
I'm like, oh, fuck off, Miss 30-year-old. I'm going home. I'm going home to see if David can open the Whoopi Vault.
Have you ever noticed that Mayor McCheese has really judgy eyes like Shannon?
Judgy eyes.
Mayor McCheese. Okay, so then we've already talked about Shannon but next is hotel therapy.
I know. This therapist clearly did not want the cameras in her practice. They had to go to a Holiday Inn to shoot the therapy session.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a weird session, because the therapist was like, listen, you two are not equipped to talk about the affair without someone else present. So anytime the affair comes up, don't talk about it. Shannon's like, but I have negative thoughts, 50 to 80 of them. That's too bad. You got to just talk about moving forward. That's all you can do.
You're not equipped to talk about this without me. And David looks, you know, he just listened to Game Night all night long last night. And now he has to listen to this shit. And Shannon's like, well, here's the problems we're having. When things come up that spark memories about the affair, that's when I get negative thoughts. And then they show the golf cart, like passing everybody in the golf cart.
I was drinking sushi.
Dying. Whenever there's a memory, everything reminds you of it. She'll be like, oh, someone left the window open, just like that slut left her legs open. You crawled right in, didn't you, David?
David never used to like to have the window open. That was the golf cart argument, was that he got like another drink at the sushi bar, and she's like, David never used to drink, and now he drinks ever since he started having the affair, and now he drinks. David never used to go on Gmail. I made him get rid of Gmail because that's the email that he used to contact his mistress. David. Like everything.
And the shrink is just like, okay, look, she's trying to help David. She's like, look, no more talking about the affair. You're not equipped. All you do is break down and have fits. And David looks like he's either going to cry or like pull a Russell. Okay. Yeah. He's not happy. And he goes, well, what's the point of therapy? Like, what are we even doing in therapy if we're not going to be equipped to talk?
Well, no.
Through?
He was saying,
No,
he was saying she was saying, when you guys are alone, don't talk about it in that way because it's going to be destructive. She's basically saying, talk about it in therapy. And he's like, well, I don't like going to therapy because then we get into a fight. And it's like, I don't want to get into a fight. Like, what's the point of going to therapy if all we do is fight? And so then the therapist was basically telling Shannon, you have to, like, start working on moving forward. If you're going to accept him back, you have to start working forward. And David has to sort of, because David doesn't want to talk about these things in therapy because it's always going to be a fight, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's
So my favorite part was then Shannon was like, you know, I just have to work through the healing and David has to work through the shame. The shame he feels cheating on me, David. David
doesn't look like he's suffering from shame. He looks like he's suffering from, what the fuck am I even doing back here? I packed my bags. I made it out. And I got lured back in. I should have just ran. Yeah. And that counselor tells Shannon, if David can't even be honest, look, David can't even be honest. He doesn't want to help, so I can't help him. Yeah. So that's it. We're going to have to do this privately. And you know what? That's probably the better idea because David's already over it. He fucked a girl. It was the best time of his life. He put it on a poster board with glitter like he was running for the board of a co-op. And, you know, he's done with it. He's over it. Like, you come, you're done, okay? It's not the same thing as for a woman. She is never going to forget that. Ever.
David, I have a new question for the newlywed game. Do you have more or less shame than you did a week after you met me? David, answer honestly. David.
Oh, my God. All right, let's drop Shannon okay. for a while.
That's all that really happened.
I mean, so I want to cheat on Shannon at this point.
No, I love Shannon. I will always be faithful to her. So then they go to – then now it's time to go to Tahiti. So now they're packing. Heather takes us through her packing process, and she goes, well, you know, when you fly commercial, those bags go flying everywhere. I'm like, oh, my God, shut up. She acts like flying commercial is like steerage in like 1910 on the Titanic. Like, like, you know, it's just madness. Like, her version of commercial flying is there's like a chicken loose in the cabin, you know, there's like spoons, and like there's someone peddling, you know, junk to everyone in the seats. Like that. It's like some bazaar in Turkey, you know?
Yeah, like that bus from Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, that's what she is. She's like, you know, she's wearing a big hat and she's like, you know what she's doing? She's totally doing Bette Midler in the subway in Big Business because she takes her perfume and she spritzes herself and the homeless people next to her.
Yes. So funny. She's like, I wrap everything in paper. And it's like she thinks in commercial that, I mean, she thinks in when she's flying private, that she probably does like have like little Asian children down there just like strapped over her bags to protect them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I am not making fun of her packing techniques. I support that. If I had the patience and tissue paper to do what she does, I would totally do that. I'm actually like really obsessed with like better packing techniques, but I just think it's ridiculous that she talks about flying commercial as if like it's just pandemonium down there. Hold like on. They just like are like taking a baseball bat to every piece of luggage that goes on the plane.
It's really important that you put paper in your clothes when you're packing them, because if you fold them with paper in the middle, the chest of the shirt isn't touching the stomach of the shirt. I mean, these shirts are $400. You don't want the chest fabric touching the stomach fabric because they'll intermingle and then boom, you're done. Gonna look like a poor person.
Listen, I get it. I mean, she's paying like a lot of money for these clothes. I have like a shirt from Forever 21 that I just bought that I really liked, and I put it into my bag over this weekend as if it were like made of like angel dust or something like that. Yeah, I was like, darling, so careful with like white gloves, you know.
But you're poor. That's the difference. Yeah, like for you, it's like a different to have this really nice expensive shirt and you want to treat it right. Heather wears these one time and then like shoves them off to the nanny to sew quilts, you know, to like hold Colette in her room or something. She's like, make another quilt with little hooks on the end so we can hook them to the little eyes and keep Colette in her, you know, cabinet room for a while. Oh, yeah. That's why she bought a fishnet sweater.
Fishnets. So anyway, I like
I'm not
that
a
was
monster
going.
I want Colette to be able to breathe.
No, like this goes into the Colette collection.
And Tamara's just like emptying out Old Navy bags into some Glad bags to shove in the back of a station wagon.
I know.
And then they move to Shannon, who's also packing a paper, but they're all of her pills. It's like, it's like 30 days worth of pills. And she's telling David what pills she's going to take. And she's like, well, I'm taking this one for the trauma, David. And then I'm taking this one for the shame that you feel, David.
I hope that you feel something for this, because I'm going to poop out some of your shame, David. And then I'm taking this one for all of the pain I'm going to feel while I'm going through the traumatic pill.
It's the this is the optimism serums. That way I have optimistic thoughts instead of the 40 to 50 negative thoughts I have about you, David. David, do you feel shame right now?
Oh, when she read the back of that, she goes, David, this one brings optimism and peace of mind when anguish overwhelms you and you can find no way out. And then she looks at him like, see? And then puts it on the thing. Oh, my God.
These are some eye drops that will apparently give me regular eyes instead of, you know,
judgy eyes.
Megan King Edmonds says, I'm not charitable, disinvites me to a party, and now I have judgy eyes. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but Dr. Moon will stick his thumb up my ass until I feel no pain. All right, David? Unless he hasn't cut his nails. Dr. Moon? This one for healing the inside of your butt canal. David?
So anyway, enough of Shannon in Orange County. It. Let's talk about Shannon in Tahiti instead. So they fly across the pond, the other pond. They get to Tahiti, and they get to this new beautiful resort. And Vicky's being really annoying. She's like, "Let's go whoop it up somewhere. Let's whoop it up," as if it's slang that everyone knows.
She's trying to make whoop it up happen. And it's not even whoop it up, which is what it is. She's like, "Who wants to whoop it up? Who wants whoop to it whoop up? It? Whoop it up."
It was the most mom-like slang there could have been. Let's whoop it up somewhere. And Shannon's like, "Whoopee? Did someone ask for whoopee?" No. Shannon, instead, the total downer that she is, she's like, I just coughed up some really nasty, like, black shit. I can't go out. I coughed up, like, you catch TB on the plane? What's going on? Yeah. Were you down in a mine recently? Do you have black lung? What are you talking about? You coughed up some black shit.
David said we were more romantic before the first week. So I'm coughing up black things, and I'm going to go upstairs. Can we mention that on the this was a weird travel segment, because normally when they travel, it's just so fun. And this is kind of that thing where you travel for too long and everybody's like wants to have fun, but everybody's exhausted and just needs to sleep. It was a weird whole montage of them traveling. And then on the plane, Heather, I don't need to see first. I don't need to see Lizzie. Like Lizzie again, the first shot we see on the plane is of Lizzie in the cam. That's a bad sign. And then the second shot is of Heather, and she's like, yeah, I'm so comfortable here. I've got the skin of an Asian child warming me. My feet are up, and I'm watching Downton Abbey. I'm like, of course you're watching the most frigid fucking show on television. She's like, this show just makes my vagina frost. I love it.
She's like, I really relate to when they have to go to London, and they throw their bags everywhere all at once in the carriages.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Back to Tahiti.
So then they're all like, while Shannon's upstairs coughing up her black mucus, they're all like sitting around these tables, and Lizzie says she thinks she might be pregnant, which is like not that exciting. And
Vicky's like, did she even miss a period? And she's like, no, but I know my body. And I'm like, really? Because you just got most of it. So I don't know how you can really know it. And she's like, I know my body. And I just feel that I'm pregnant. How about you wait? How about you wait till you're pregnant? Just wait. Just give it a second. Because you're not getting a storyline anyway out of this. So just shut the fuck up. Yeah. And then Vicky's on the other side. Oh, geez, these people and their pregnancies. Why don't you pee on a stick? Anybody got a stick to pee on? Oh, for Christ's sake, is it hard to pee on a stick? Give me a stick! There's no sticks in Tahiti! I was not having a threesome!
By the way, I was agreeing with every single one of Vicky's little comments from this point on for the rest of the episode. Every time they cut to her in her confessional, she would just say something super shady. I was like, yep, that's right. Preach, girl. when they were talking again about the fact that, like, Megan's like, well, it'll be 3 weeks that I haven't seen Jim, blah, 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 blah. And then I love when Vicky goes, I've spent time with Megan, and I'd ship her off to California, too, if I were Jim. I was like, yep.
Oh. And then Jim and Haley FaceTime from their thing to Megan, and they're like, hey. Yeah. He's like, hey, babe, you having fun? Haley's like, what's up, bitch? Look at me. I'm not doing my homework. I'm on the lake. And Megan's like, yeah, I really miss you guys. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Don't spend any money. Bye, idiot. She's like, bye, bitch. Megan's like, oh, God. You know, I like to think of this as my choice because, you know, maybe, you know, you could look at it like, yeah, they left me and went to the lake without me. But I look at it as like, I'm in Tahiti, and that was my choice. So, yeah. Like,
I sacrificed my time.
Yeah, like, shut up. Shut up. You were so stupid. Stupid.
It's like a boxer being like, yeah, I totally won that fight because I just needed a nap, and so I laid down and took one, and that's called personal freedom. No, you lost.
Yeah, she's stupid. She's really stupid.
You're stupid.
Bye, and by the way, and how appropriate that Jim and his daughter are in Lake Havasu. I mean... That's where Vicky goes. That's like Vicky's classy retreat, you know, going to like Havasu, getting footballs thrown in her face.
Yeah, that's where Vicky's like, oh, I just wanted to show all the secretaries and the box boys that they're appreciated, okay?
Yeah.
Pass so anyway, the limoncello or whatever.
So then anyway, the next day, they all go out and about and they wind up in a store with like selling that sells all these pearls, and the pearls are like $19,000 for each pearl or whatever. And at one, I guess Megan wanted something or Heather, whatever. But Vicky suddenly had this realization. She's like, "Oh my God, we're already like most of the way through the season. I haven't done my working rant yet." So of course Vicky dusted it off and goes, "Well, you don't work. You don't work. You don't work. Can't spend your husband's money. You don't work. You don't work." I was like,
oh, yeah. Well, she started actually going after
Heather,
which I was surprised because I thought it was going to be the young girl, but it wasn't. She did start with the young girl, but mostly it was Heather. She was like, oh, do you have to call Terry when you spend that much money? I mean, can you just spend 50 grand? And Heather says, well, I don't ask him for permission, but, you know, we have a discussion.
Discussion.
And she's like, oh, really? Oh, a discussion? You don't have to, because I would be real mad if I was married to someone and I was the one with the job. And then she was out spending my money and, you know, no one was saying anything to her and she didn't ask my permission. She was just spending the money. I mean, get a job. You know, that's what you get a job for.
You don't work.
And Shannon was like, yeah, but you're married, your partner. Oh, Megan, I'm sorry. Megan's like, yeah, but when you're married, your partner is, so it's shared. And she's like, oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not
that
shared.
That was like, that. By the way, that moment was like the moment in Jurassic Park when Jeff Goldblum was like, hey, I'm going to distract the Tyrannosaurus Rex also with my flair. And then the Tyrannosaurus Rex just goes after Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. That's what happened there because Megan basically attracted the T-Rex, that is Vicky Gunvalson, over to her to go eat her face off.
Yeah, but then at least Vicky walked away from that one. And
Vicky kept on muttering about it. She's like, well, you don't work? She doesn't work? Like, how are you doing? It's like, if you work, that's one thing, but you don't work? You don't work?
Well, she was going against everybody, because the only one who works, even Tamara was like, well, I work. And she's like, but you don't make a paycheck. That's not working. I mean, you can build a gym and call it the C word, but it doesn't mean it's a job. It's just some empty building with uneven flooring and a gay guy inside teaching a spin class. It's not a job. Shelves. Yeah. She went after everybody pretty much because Vicky's the only one really with a job. And so everybody looked really uncomfortable.
Even Shannon. Shannon's like, well, I don't work.
Megan... I don't go to lunch every day. I don't eat bonbons. I mean, maybe I don't have a job, but you know, but following David's iCloud account, you know how hard Maps is to read on the new Apple system? It's difficult. I mean, it's a lot of work.
I can't eat bonbons because David's mistress would always eat bonbons, David.
Dated a girl named Bonnie.
Wait, but the thing is this, though. All the other women, you know, they've heard this before, and it sort of like slides off their back. But Megan's all in a tizzy now. So then...
Megan's like, she's jealous because she's not hot enough to be a gold digger. Yeah. Oh, and I'd also like to point out that London Elliott on our Facebook page put a very smart, angry comment, which I love those. But he was like, who the fuck is Vicky to say? She's marrying some poor guy who's using all her money, and it's like her second or third husband after she got cleaned out by the last one, like, and didn't want to give him any money. Like, fuck you. Who are you to judge how people live their lives? You just bought Cadillac teeth. You know, you just bought, like, toilet seat porcelain teeth for your idiot man. Give me a break.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. But, I mean, Vicky's always a hypocrite, for sure. Like, that's her thing. But anyway... What I loved is that then Megan is all, her feathers are ruffled. She's all like, yeah. So then they're all having lunch, and I guess they start talking about like most embarrassing thing that happened. And Megan tells this awful story. She was like,
One time when I was working, because I worked, because I used to work, I had a cramp and I ignored it because I was working so hard. And then I had a period everywhere because I was working. It's like, shut up, Megan. Like, we get it. You worked. And but then Vicky was not going to take it. Vicky was like, also, what were you doing? She's like, I sold medical things. She's like, oh, well, that's a good job. Why'd you stop? Well, it wasn't conducive to my relationship, you know, because I want to be a trophy wife, essentially. Oh, well, you shouldn't have stopped. Well, I did work, and that's the point. It's like, shut up, Megan. Shut up.
Vicky's like, you can fall in love and work. So Brooks doesn't do it. But, you know, one thing is, you know, the love part. I'm like, shut up, Vicky. She's such
Vicky
an asshole.
But Vicky was right, though, in the case of Megan, because, like, you know, I mean, Megan was in medical sales. There's no reason why she can't be doing that in California.
It's true, but what Megan had said four times in this episode, because a lot of what we skipped are people when they're saying, where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? And they're like, why aren't you with Jimmy? Why aren't you with Jimmy? And she said 20 times, Jimmy is in St. Louis. He needs me here to take care of Haley because Haley has to be here for school and her mom is too sick to be taking care of her. I have to be here to take care of Jimmy's kid. She said it 100,000 times. And then Vicky's like, oh, well, why do you got to take care of her? She's got a mother. And she goes, yes, and she still has cancer. Like I told you before, she is dying of cancer. And she cannot take care of her daughter. And she's like, oh, well, you can't, just being there around the kid doesn't mean that you're the mom. I mean, you can't do it. You're not the mom. She's got a mom.
What happened to wife number two?
Oh, my God.
Or was Leanne wife number two? By the way, RIP, Leanne actually died last week.
Yes, she actually passed away. That is so sad. And it's so sad watching all of this and watching them fight over it.
Yeah.
And then it's also sad because Megan is doing all this shit right now that is really hard to be on her side with. She's going on Twitter. You know, Leanne died last week, and Megan, one of her tweets was nice. It was like, oh, RIP, you know, God bless a friend or whatever. Then it's like, God, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm really lucky I still have a mother. Sad face. And then she'd be like, God, it must be so hard not to have a mother. I'm really feeling for Haley right now. You know, she just keeps tweeting about how Haley feels and how this is so hard. She's kind of using it to her advantage.
Yeah, because she, I think, didn't she appear on Watch What Happens last night?
She went on Watch What Happens last night. She has pink hair. And then apparently,
Yeah, it kind of, you know, it's annoying because I think she's intending to raise awareness and as tribute to Leanne or whatever, but it's just all translating as very self-serving stuff. It's like, Megan, it's enough.
You didn't
have pink hair
when she was alive. I mean, supporting her with pink hair after she's dead is a little self-serving, especially when you're about to go on an interview circuit. I think it's kind of gross, and I think she shouldn't be using that and talking about it, and she shouldn't be talking about trying to replace her as a mother. That's offensive. I think Vicky's really right. I think it was the clips for next week, when she's saying, you know, what would you do if your ex-husband's new wife is sitting there crying because she can't be the real mother to your children? And Tamara's like, I throw him to the sharks, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
agree. No, the old ladies are now turning against Megan finally, and it should just, it'll go to a really good place. And I have one thing to say about it.
Listen, lady, keep your poking. Keep poking at me, Megan. Keep it up.
Keep your poking. My judgy eyes are going to go find my cup. All right.
Should we move on to Married to Medicine?
Yes. How long was that? 5 hours did it take?
Five hours. Yeah. Married to Medicine, by the way, is so dreadful these days. So fucking dreadful. Oh my God. It was torture getting through this episode. Torture.
I did stop and binge in the middle, I have to say. I stopped 5 minutes in and I got some peanut butter Girl Scout cookies because my dad has those. I love him.
Well, you better be careful because Toya's installing nanny cams everywhere to catch people like you and Eugene. Well, what I should have did is install a big nanny cam right in the cookie jar.
Totally. Yeah, I just kept stopping and I stopped and ate some peanut butter tortillas. Then I stopped it and made a salad to be healthy. And then I stopped it and ate some frozen Snickers bar. I just binged through this whole thing. It took me like 2 hours to watch it last night. I was up till 4 a.m, darling.
Yeah, it took me about 90 minutes because I would just get distracted. Because I was so bored that I wind up doing something else. And I was like, oh, shit, I got to watch the rest of this.
So we open with a montage of everybody doing nothing. And Heavenly being fake as hell like she ever goes to work. Because 1 minute, Heavenly's like, I'm a dentist. And then the next, she's like, I'm a dentist, but really what I do is I take old dentistries and I flip them and make them nicer. And then I resell them. I'm like, she's a dentist flipper or something. I don't know what she does.
Yeah.
But then they show her and she's talking to her secretary and her secretary is like, you have a cavity in room two. And she goes, thank you, honey. You're doing such a good job. I just want to say thank you for being so wonderful at what you do. Shut up, Heavenly. No one's buying it.
But Heavenly is funny, too, though, because she's been so shady this season. Like, I think so. Heavenly met up with Simone and Dr. Jackie. They're like, ooh, the doctors, the team doctor, we're all getting together.
Mm.
And they're talking about the situation with Quad. And they're like,
she's like, the wives are dumb, honey.
Yeah. And well, they were like, they asked Simone, they're like, so what would you do if someone threw a water in your face? And Simone's like, I'll just walk away. She's like, you wouldn't throw a glass in someone's face. She's like, that's what the wives do. I was like, yes.
She's like, the doctors have seminars. And the doctors have seminars and then call everybody bitches and whores in front of the public and make money off of it. That's what a doctor does.
So then there was some contrived bullshit where then Heavenly went to the bathroom and then Simone got onto Heavenly's phone and there were all these men on there and it was like a dating app and Heavenly's like, why are you on my phone?
You guys give me back my phone, I'm going to make you a T-Mobile tower and beat you down. You ain't going to get reception anywhere you go, girl.
Ah. So then Heavenly, she explains when she gets back, when she's pretending to be mad, she's like, I'm developing a dating app. She says she's developing a dating app, which is why she has one, and it's for, like, research. And when she says she's developing a dating app, I'm like, she's doing a seminar on empowerment and developing a dating app. And in my mind, I'm thinking, she and Phaedra Parks should go into business together because they've got, like, a new entrepreneurial endeavor that makes no sense every 5 minutes. And then, of course, later on, Phaedra Parks actually showed up on the episode. I was like, well, that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're really doing is they're just starting, like, 100,000 businesses, getting the trademarks, writing out the plans, and then talking about them on TV, and then trying to sell the trademarks.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're doing because they can't be this stupid. But Heavenly's like, you know how everybody's on their cell phone all the time? I was thinking, girl, people maybe could date on their cell phone. Maybe they could date. I'm like, yeah, we know that. Next, she's going to invent, like, you know, solitaire that you can just play on your cell phone. Like, wouldn't there be a great way if people could send each other messages? I'm going to call it Textus's messages.
Like, I got a good idea for a dating app. Like, let's just do something where you can meet people and then maybe you find some love, some like tender love. I'm going to call it Tender. Tender.
E Heavenly. and then Jackie, who's also sticking to her these shows are just all about terrible businesses being launched. They should just make it like the Shark Tank, you know, but like, I don't know, just like Guppy the Seahorse tank. Like, yeah. Totally harmless fish. But like the Seahorse tank. But anyway, and then they cut to Jackie and they're like, you want some coffee? You want some coffee, girl? And Jackie's like, oh, no, no coffee for me. Just water. I'm like, oh, Jesus. What does coffee make you fat too? I'm sick of you. Just stop it with this.
Yeah. It goes the other way. Coffee is supposed to make you thin. That's why the miles. Coffee and cigarettes, darling. Coffee and cigarettes.
Coffee and cigarettes, darling. Lunch.
So then we cut to Toya. So Toya and Eugene are getting ready to go to sleep. And what I love is that Toya was wearing a Beyonce t-shirt that said, I woke up like this. But you know when Toya's mom was like, I woke up like this, you know, like a t-shirt. I woke up like a t-shirt.
I woke up soft and fluffy and I cost $5 in a tourist store. But then I felt a lot better after I got a couple of washes.
What I should have did is gone to sleep like this. That would make more sense to go to sleep like this. I woke up like this, I go to sleep like this. It's crazy.
She's like, I'm wearing this shirt to bed that, but that don't make no sense.
I told Eugene, don't be scared. I'm not like a werewolf. I don't wake up like one thing and go sleep like another. I'm like this all day long. That's why I woke up like this.
And then Eugene, who's gained probably 500 pounds since he started the show. Yeah. Like, Eugene is literally, he's one of those people at Disney World on a scooter soon, okay? He's not doing well. Eugene is eating his feelings and he's not feeling very
He's turning
well.
Into Grimace, basically.
He's feeling like a pint of Ben & Jerry's, basically.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do a callback to the McDonald's,
he's turning into Grimace, and there's no end in sight. So,
oh my god.
So he started cheating, and so Toya catches him. Toya goes downstairs
because she's put a nanny cam behind a cookie jar, which is the worst place to hide it if your husband is eating the cookies.
Yeah.
She's gonna be like, "Oh, a camera."
Yeah.
Stupid. She's like, I put a nanny cam inside a peanut butter jar. Let's see if he finds. It's like, you know, he's gonna eat that camera. Stupid.
She's like, I thought the nanny cam was to catch Nanny for Muppet Babies, but no, it caught Eugene instead.
Oh, poor Eugene.
So then he's like annoyed. He's like, Toya, he's like, here's the deal. I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want, okay? I'm like, yeah, we know. He's like, that's all I have to say. That's all I have to say. I'm just gonna
actions speak louder than words, and yours just burped and farted at the same time. We get it.
You know, I love Eugene, though. Like, I don't know why he married Toya. Eugene is adorable. He really is.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
And he's stress eating because she's spending everything he makes.
He's freaking
out. He's spending all this money to have a semi-hot wife who just berates him for being fat.
They're renting a giant mansion that used to belong to an NBA guy. So no wonder why he's stressed. He's got a business that's not working. He's spending money out the ass.
You don't need a hot
mansion.
Wife, dude. Fucking stress dump eating. Her. Dump stress her and eating. Masturbate in a Bentley, darling, that you own. Get rid of her. Yeah, so now, he's waddling around the kitchen eating, and he's like fucking around. And he's like, don't sneak up on me. You know, what if I was spying on you and I saw what you were doing bad, like what you were doing with all the credit cards? And so he threatens her money. So finally she leaves him alone and she goes, you so ignorant. And I was like, you have not said one sentence properly since you came down those stairs, woman.
I have came here to tell you ignorant and get out of here in your ambulance.
The quote I wrote of her is she goes, Eugene, your commitment to your diet doesn't exist.
Really? I'm going to go tell the drug kazar what you're doing, Eugene.
Oh my god, she's so stupid. Okay, so next we're in the Chili's. And
yeah, Lisa Nicole
and Darren. And Lisa Nicole, they're so fake. Lisa Nicole's like, well, you know, it's really been bothering me, all of this stuff with Quad. And he's like, listen, I don't want to talk about the incident of the issue that happened in the incidents of the incident issueness. And she's like, yeah, it was hard because she abused me.
And he's like, babe, what I really think we should do is just move on and just, like, maybe distract ourselves by getting me some new mom jeans. That's what I think.
These jeans aren't going to hold themselves up above my love handles on their own. Can we get me a new belt?
How about this, babe? Why don't we go to the strip club? We'll look at some strippers, and then we'll get me some mom jeans, then go back to strip club. And that's it.
Yeah, let's talk about this over stripper sushi. So
yeah, really good menu there.
Her business lawyer comes in, which I don't know what good that is, but
yeah,
she's like, you know, David Walker is one of my attorneys. I have the attorneys for the illegitimate children, and I have attorneys for zippers that were put on wrong, or I have my hanger attorney who's suing people who don't put hangers facing the right way because that could make me look bad. And I will also file charges if Quad files charges because I felt assaulted. I was like, yeah, but you weren't.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, yeah,
and
exactly.
There's actually
anything,
footage
she
of
was
you.
Assaulting.
Yeah. There's she footage of you hitting someone and then throwing water at someone and then throwing a glass and then going after her to hit her. So yeah. I don't know.
And I love the lawyer was like, listen, you need to settle this because, you know, the time that you spend doing this, it's time you're not doing this is getting in the way of your business. I'm like, oh, God. God forbid that the Lisa Nicole business gets interrupted. That stupid boutique that's at the corner of wherever, something's getting in the way of the management of that very important store.
I know. Like, that rayon is not ironing itself. Like, shut up, Lisa Nicole. Get out of here. And then she acts like she's being mature, and she's like,
yes, I would like to settle this in a way that won't embarrass her further.
And then he's like, now look, she's a business owner too, and a good business owner knows this is time-consuming. Don't worry about it. And then she goes,
she has no businesses.
Okay. So that's not really a good way to get people to drop charges, because, you know, the producers just ran and showed her that clip, and now you're going to be sued, stupid.
If she has no businesses, why'd you run a background check and call it due diligence? How about that? How about that?
Oh, did you know that she, I think it was on her Bravo blog or some interview, someone posted it on her Facebook, but she told an interviewer,
well, maybe I wasn't in business with her, but I consider what we're doing to be working together, which is being on a reality show, and that's a business, and I would feel more comfortable about knowing about people I'm in business with.
Like,
she's an idiot.
She is an idiot. And absolute she's a idiot. Mean, stupid idiot. I mean, this girl is vindictive, mean, awful, used almost cancer last season, which we didn't bug her for. But I'm sorry, going to be tested for cancer is not having cancer. That was almost cancer. That was bullshit. And then she's doing this reverse feminism thing where her husband cheats on her multiple times and she stands up with him because he's got a lot of money. And that is bullshit. I'm so sick of women doing this and then acting like they're doing it for the sake of the marriage and the sake of the children.
And then she lashes out at the other women. She lashes out at the other women who dare to, like, utter that this happened.
Yes.
She goes against the women and stands with the man who cheated on her.
Bitch, you are not doing this for the children. You're doing this for the lease, okay? You're doing this for the car lease. You're fucking up women everywhere by acting like this. Have some self-respect, for crying out loud, you piece of shit. I'm sick of this with these women on Bravo. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Come on, women. Stand up. Stop taking shit from men, and they'll stop giving shit to women. As long as women... You know, welcome mats aren't just gonna, like... People aren't going to stop wiping their feet on the welcome mat because it's rude. It's lying there. It says welcome. Don't lay down and be shocked that someone, you know, cleans the mud off their flip-flops before they go into their mother's house.
Yes. Preach, Ronnie. Preach. Anyway, we then moved on to Simone. Simone's sister arrived.
Loved her sister. The season was boring. We can move on.
Yeah, this scene was boring. Nothing happened. They were just talking about my dad. So then, now it came to phase two of Fit is the New It. Yay.
Yay. And Jackie's assistant is like, now look, you have got to make this fun. And Jackie's like, fun? I am fun.
Yeah.
Did anybody tell Mrs. Huxtable that she wasn't fun? No. She was on a sitcom on NBC. She was fun. They're like, no, that was Bill Cosby. And he was also drugging people out to have sex with them.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I'm a fun person. Now, look, running in heels might be okay. Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Except fat. That just makes you fat and dead. That kills you and isn't fun. But anything else, we can do it. We can do this.
No, yeah, she drags Jackie dragged people out in the middle of the woods for like this little sort of obstacle course relay race thing. Mm. And then she's like, I'm afraid some of my friends aren't taking this serious, which, by the way, it's seriously, first of all. But also it's like, well, of course they're not taking it seriously because you're not qualified in any way to be running this program. Maybe your trainer is, but not you. You're just fat shaming.
You're just some worked out woman with a bullhorn. You know, you don't motivate people by screaming at them with a bullhorn. Do you know what they want to do? Shoot you. They do not want to listen to you. They want you dead. Okay?
Right. And then at some point, so Heavenly was there, and at some point she pulled a total Toya because she said fruition, and she goes, fruition?
And what's with going out to exercise? She's like, okay, everybody. The trainer's like, okay, everybody, welcome to the wilderness. You're going to run around a block, so be sure you get plenty of calories to fuel up to run around the block. No, you're supposed to be burning calories. You don't tell an obese man that he needs to eat more calories before he exercises. He doesn't. He's wearing 20 years of calories. What the fuck, people? Stop.
And then on top of that, this race was like... It did not seem to be a highly effective way to lose weight. It was like they ran together. They did like a three-legged race to one stop. They had to pick up some water and run about 10 feet to the next location. And Toya didn't even want to take the jugs, which was annoying. She's like, I just want to run. Oh, Gene, you carry the jugs. And, we should also mention that Quad showed up, and it was a big deal. Quad was like, I have arrived. I have made a commitment because I'm a woman of my word. Shut up. Don't act like you deserve a medal because you showed up to an obligation on your reality show.
I'm a woman of my word, and my word is what I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay because I'm in, and in is in, and in is out, and out is out, and I'm in the out. It's like, okay.
And at one point, Quad said something that made no sense. She's talking about how she and Jill would have won, but they forgot to do something at one point. So they
forgot to bring the jugs. Oh, and meanwhile, you've got fucking Eugene on a Florida Disney World electric scooter, like panting himself. He's like way last. He's like, I brought the jugs. So he wins on a technicality. And he's like, I won. And Quad is like, oh, please now, Eugene. You're a grizzly bear. You're just a grizzly bear. You grizzly like a bear.
But then Quad said something that made no sense. I actually recorded it. Something about her and Jill being a daffodil. I want you to listen to this and tell me if this makes any sense to you.
When it comes down to endurance, strength, and condition, me and Miss Jill, the daffodil, has it, honey.
Me and Miss Jill, the daffodil, has it, honey.
Me and Miss Jill, daffodil, has it, honey. What?
It was just like a word. It's like she was doing well. She's like, when it comes to endurance and strength and conditioning, it's like, okay, Quad, you're doing really well. You're making a full sentence. She's like, me and Miss Jill, Quad, daffodil, has it, baby. What?
No.
Lost it.
When it comes down to endurance, strength, and condition, me and Miss Jill, the daffodil, has it, honey.
Girl, that game is a... That girl is a game of Boggle.
She's not even. Boggle makes more sense than the things that she says.
You have to stare at it for a really long time before.
It's like someone took magnetic poetry and threw it on the refrigerator and read it. some of those words were upside down.
Yeah. Love her though. I know she's ridiculous.
Jill's a daffodil has it, baby.
Man, Jill's a daffodil has it, baby. Okay. All right. Card line. Okay, another boring thing. The sister and the blah spying on teen Urkel going on his first date. Who cares?
I know, that was stupid, but I do want to say I did think the scene was cute, even if it was boring.
Oh, it was cute. Yeah, it was cute.
And his date, beautiful, beautiful young lady, and I hope that they just stay together for the rest of their lives. She was so cute. That girl was wearing a sweater
up to her chin and wearing a scarf. And, like, you could see the lock to her, like, virginity locks. That girl was innocent, and I liked that. That wasn't, like, some trashy teenager trying to be on TV, for sure.
And I felt so bad. It was his first date, and what a terrible way to have your first date. Not only is your mom lurking in the bushes, but she's lurking in the bushes with a camera crew for national TV. Yeah. I mean, that is pressure.
Yeah, outside in Arby's or whatever. Like, this is so romantic. Remember when you took me to eat that shaved plastic meat? Delicious. I knew right then I was stuck with you.
It was so cute, though. I was like, I'm so bored and yet so enchanted at the same time.
So Phaedra and Quad. So this is when Quad goes to Phaedra and Phaedra is telling her basically, listen, you are going to ruin her life if you come after her. It hurts the kids. It hurts the blah. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Well, first of all, and I love when she's like, and then Quad's like, well, I don't want to hurt her children. That's the last thing I want to do. Well, actually, then why did you get into your Inspector Gadget uniform and start trotting out all these details, these incendiary details that don't really mean anything on camera, on national TV, if you don't want to hurt the kids?
Well, she didn't say she didn't want to hurt the kids. It said... First of all, Phaedra said, well, this will damage the kids. And she goes, well, mama should have thought of that. And then she's like, well, this could irreparably, she rephrased it like, this will ruin their lives. And she's like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, I just want to hurt them. I don't want to damage them forever. I'm not hot. I'm not less of a heart because my heart is beating like a beatmaster.
Daffodil has it. So then Phaedra at one point was like, well, then also, you know, with this glass on, like, there could be some scarring, and that's your gold mine. As if Quad is in demand in Paris and Milan to walk the runways. And then Quad is like, oh, yes, and there is makeup. I can guarantee you this is makeup right here, but there is a scar. Like, I don't, excuse me, Freddy Krueger.
There's a huge scar.
I don't see anything, all right?
Like, she's really Freddy under there. Shut up. And she's like, oh, yeah, your face is, listen, when people run by you and they say cover girl, they mean please cover girl. That face is not a gold mine. Get out of here. Get a bag on that thing. That girl is not known for her face. She's known for being a crazy bitch on TV. Let's not kid ourselves.
Listen, we have seen scars on TV before. We've seen Candy's assistant Carmen. All right, she got a big scar on her face. And when you have a real scar that's going to damage you, no amount of makeup can cover it up. It's just there.
And it's fine, but it's there. So don't act like your scratch is a thing. For sure, it's fucked up. I mean, she did get glass thrown on her face and she did get a cut, like, legit. And I think that Lisa Nicole should pay for her medical bills. But don't act like this is a $6 billion damages
she
lawsuit.
She needs to pay for that Neosporin and that giant half-faced, like, Phantom of the Opera Band-Aid that they put on her face. Even all they need to do in court is play the husband saying, "It's just a tiny scratch, baby."
Yeah.
That's all they
need. If it costs Quad $100, I still think Lisa Nicole should pay it. I still do. But Quad should stop acting as if these are some major damages going on here. Like,
or just, that she was just standing there innocently and then got water thrown at her. Like, shut up. You were coming after someone on national TV, bitch. Please.
You know what? Take it to Judge Judy. It's about time. You know, why doesn't Bravo get Judge Judy involved with some of these things? Because I would love to hear what Judge Judy has to say about this. I would love it. Because
seasons would be over in 2 seconds. She'd be like, "You're all stupid, Seawoods. That's it. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's a thunderstorm outside."
Okay.
I love Lisa Nicole going, or Quad going, Lisa Nicole should not be named, honey. She is a name you shall not name. That is a Mortivaldi. I'm like, shut up. You've never watched Harry Potter. You need to just be quiet. Yeah. Okay, so that was it. So next week. Quad fights with Jill, and she's like, Quad is so stupid. I love her. Jill's like, "Listen, I'm going to confront you because remember when we were in the wilderness and all those people brought jugs? You told me I didn't need my jugs," or whatever the stupid fight's about. And Quad's like, "I do not appreciate you speaking to me in that tone." And Jill's like, "Yeah, but I'm upset." And she goes, "This is getting a little bit out of hand, and I do not want that with you." Like, she's creepily silent. And then they just cut to Jill blinking blankly, like,
You know what Jill's problem is? You know what she has?
Judgy eyes.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Watch Watch Crappins. Thank you for all your support on patreon.com/watchcrappins. Come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchcrappins. And remember that this week's show is going to be Real Housewives of New York City, Million Dollar Listing San Francisco, and probably a bunch of previews of new Bravo shows coming up later this summer. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.